Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Walter Falls, Texas by Ernest Tubb. Grizzlies get one win against a Texas team. And have four other games in the near future against Texas teams, so maybe they can waltz across Texas.
So as one of the original advocates for Jaren Jackson Jr., must gladden your heart to see him have a game like he had last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're past the point of like having to like assert that Jaren Jackson is good.
Right.
Like I think it's known. What's been different, I did a little bit of research about this. I've got a just a little quick reaction column to the first half of these this stretch later today. But this is so he scored 124 points over the past four games. That is the third highest stretch of scoring stretch of that kind of four over four games in his career. The other two, in fact, it ties to others. So there's five stretches. He scored at least 124 points in four straight games. And the other four stretches combined, he's had one 10-rebound game, and it was exactly 10, and 0-4 assist games. In this stretch, he's piled up the points, but he's had two, like, you know, dozen rebound games. He's, I think, 3 or 4 assist games. The totality of his play is, I think, what is notable. Like, he's added that isolation scoring, and I think he's proven this season that that wasn't fluky. That is a real addition to his game.
Yeah.
But he's really rounding it out.
So, I'm curious, the other stretches, like, were two of them last year when he was being counted on to, like, to carry the load, or were they just, did they randomly pop up over the course of his career?
The two highest were actually the same stretch. It was, like, two different segments of a longer stretch, but it was last season, last season in December, before Ja came back, not after the shoulder thing. And then the others were actually the very end of the previous season. Like, there was a stretch, it was sort of like a preview of coming attractions. There was a stretch the very end of the previous year where he had a really hot scoring stretch at the end of the season.
So, yeah, it was a complete game last night. To what do you, I don't know, to what do you attribute it? He's bigger, he's stronger, he's more experienced, he's like, where do you, the stereo is finally tuned. To what do you chalk this up?
Well, I think he's really, I mean, he was always going to get stronger because he came in the league at 19. He was always going to get more experienced. It was not certain he was always going to develop his ball handling the way he has. His ability to operate off the dribble and to handle the ball in tight spaces and to create shots off the dribble, that is not something, like, yeah, I was a proponent of drafting Jaren Jackson. I thought Jaren Jackson was going to be a defensive player, the year-level player, who can get you 20 points a game as the third option. And he became that. And then he kept going from there. And so, like, he became everything I thought he would be, but he's been more than that because I never – my plan, my idea with Jared is not that, like, everyone spread out and give Jared the ball and let him cook. That's not what I thought was coming with Jared Jackson. And that is what's coming. And in some ways, like the stretch of games without John Morant, there have been stretches of it where, you know, like that, I don't think that's the ideal Grizzlies offense. It sort of looked a little bit like last season, like right. He had nothing else to do, so everybody move out of the way and let Jaren go try to score. But he can do that now. Like, I don't think you're winning a title with that as your recipe, but right now you had John Morant out, and last night you had Desmond Bane out, and like, you're just trying to get across the finish line, and like his ability to do that, he's become one of the better ISO scorers in the game.
Yeah, and on a night like last night, when you're obviously no Ja and no Dez, it's nice to be able to turn to him to ask him to do that. And you started out by saying it is known that he is good, and it is known that he is good. It is interesting, though. I just called up the ESPN preseason player rankings, right? He was 55.
That's dumb. That's dumb.
He was behind R.J. Barrett. He was behind Sengun. He was, you know, like that's the, you know, he was one ahead of Derek Lively.
I do think the rebounding stuff still sort of hurts him a little bit in that you just glance at guys' stat lines aspect. I had a conversation, communication, you know, a written conversation, a DM kind of situation with not ESPN, but someone who's involved in the Ringer list recently about Jaren. And my response was like, you guys think I have a meeting about the season Jaren's having? And he asked, well, you know, who should he be above? Where should he be? And I had some response to that. But my main thing was their list had Franz Wagner and Evan Mobley, I don't know, in the 20-30 range, and they had Jared Jackson like in the low 40s.
Right.
And my thing was, those guys are a cohort.
Right.
I'm not telling you Jaren's better than those guys. I'm telling you Jaren's in the conversation. They're together, you know?
It is weird. We talk about
the
why?
Best young forwards in the game. Like, that's the list. And Paolo Banchero, who's injured. Like that's the list.
It's sort of interesting, though, because it's like you talked about the Ringer, and I just called up ESPN. It's interesting that they isn't and just automatically put there. By the way, he's the one who's won Defensive Player of the Year. You know, like it's right. Sort of extraordinary. In terms of All-Star stuff, we saw the, you know, voting came out, which he obviously not going to get voted onto the All-Star team. How do you assess his All-Star chances?
I mean, you'd have to do the exercise of like, because it's easy to say, if you say this guy's an All-Star, you end up saying like 17 guys are All-Stars and there are 12 places. But I think if the Grizzlies are a top three team in the West, and with Desmond Bane having, you know, in totality, the sort of, like, you know, lesser season he's had, when you factor in some of the stuff earlier in the season, and then John Morant missing the game, Jaren's going to be an All-Star. Like, if the current trends continue and he's played basically every game like this, and the Grizzlies are top three in the West, he's going to be an All-Star. The interesting thing is that at the forward position in the West is actually pretty shallow. And he might be. You could argue he's been the best forward in the West. The problem is that two of those guys are LeBron James and Kevin Durant. And so, like, they're going to start because they're LeBron James and Kevin Durant. You have Jalen Williams, who's playing for a team that he's been the second best player on the team that's just running away with the conference. So he's going to be an All-Star. And, like, after that, it's easily Jaren. The problem is it's not that positional. And the center spot in the West is super deep. You have Nikola Jokic, you have Anthony Davis, you have Victor Wembanyama. There's three guys who are going to be All-Stars.
Absolutely, yeah.
So now you're talking about Alperen Şengün, like, are the Rockets not going to have an All-Star? Talking about Domantas Sabonis, who I think will not be an All-Star, but his numbers are crazy. That's the thing where if you watch basketball, Jaren is better than Domantas Sabonis. If you look at box scores, you think Domantas Sabonis is better than Jaren.
Remind me where we are on the contract and the things the Grizzlies might be able to do with Jaren.
Well, they're not doing anything right now.
Right.
This would be an after the season thing at most. He could sign, or technically he could sign an extension, I think, now. Right now, he could sign, so he has 2 years left.
This year and one more.
I yeah. this year one more. In terms of signing an extension off the current contract, he would only be eligible to sign an extension that begins at 40% higher than the last season of the current contract, which he's not going to sign because he's on a contract that's undervalued and that has a declining structure, and that's just not going to happen. If he reaches supermax criteria, which would be making it all NBA team, which is what it would be. He's not going to win MVP. He probably won't win Defensive Player of the Year, although he said that before. The most likely the three is all NBA. He would be eligible for a supermax. There's a lot more detail, a lot more stuff here that I need to get into to actually write. There's just limits to what you can say on the radio, and I haven't done the work. But essentially, he could sign a supermax extension at the end of the season if he reaches the supermax criteria. There's all kinds of questions about, yes, you want to lock Jaren up a year early, but do you want to give him a supermax? There's all kinds of questions there.
So the supermax would allow you to do something that you couldn't otherwise do, which is offer him a contract that he might take, but it would also lock you into a contract that might or might not be advisable over the long haul.
Well, then I have other questions that I need. I don't know the answers.
We'll revisit it another time. It was certainly striking to see Yuki in the first quarter, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean that was a sign of the desperate
where they were.
They were in. I mean, I'm not trying to rain on the Yuki parade, but it just is what it is.
Yes.
I mean, they had all these guards out, and they're not playing him in minutes that matter, and they finally do, and it lasts about 2 minutes, and that's all you can take of that. And so it is what it is. He's a fun player. He's a talented player. He's not an NBA player. That's what it is.
Yeah. In terms of looking around the league a little bit beyond the Grizzlies, how about the Detroit Pistons and J.B. Bickerstaff? 500 for the first time in forever. I think you predicted they'd be one of the improved teams this year.
Yeah, I predicted they would double their win total. Of course, that was only predicting 28 wins, and so they're doing a lot better than that. I think Bickerstaff's done a good job. I think Cade Cunningham has asserted himself as, a star, not a superstar, but a star player in the East. But it's impressive that they're doing this. Jaden Ivey's out now, and he'd been having a good season. Jalen Duren has not had a good season. He's been a big disappointment. And they're sort of still doing this. And I think, they added some veteran shooters. The conference is weak. The bottom half of the conference is weak. But they're playing well. I'll be interested to see if they actually try to add a little bit of the trade deadline to help them right now. They're actually $15 million under the salary cap. So everyone assumes they're going to facilitate other teams' trades and get draft picks. But I wonder if they don't try to poach some veteran who can help them a little bit right now.
Bradley Beal comes off the bench last night for the Suns. And, of course, Bradley Beal's name comes up all the time in connection with possibility of a Jimmy Butler deal. I'm skeptical. You?
Well, the scenario that's out there, I mean, the basic thing about that is the Heat taking Bradley Beal for Jimmy Butler, which it gives them another year of salary on a player they don't want. The scenario that's been suggested, which I also don't think would happen, but is more interesting, speaking of Detroit, would be a three-team deal than where the Detroit would take Bradley Beal. And so, Jimmy Butler goes to Phoenix, Bradley Beal goes to Detroit. Detroit sends two or three players sort of cobbled together the match salary to Miami that maybe Miami's more willing to take. That's kind of interesting. But I saw that and I thought, why not eliminate the middleman? Why shouldn't Detroit just trade for Jimmy Butler? I don't know if Jimmy Butler would go for that, but at this point, what are your options? I think that would be interesting, actually. I think Detroit should just trade for Jimmy Butler.
What is in the previous scenario is the idea that Detroit would actively want Bradley Beal, or would they get some value?
Yeah, with the idea that they are deep on, they're under the salary cap itself. They reach the salary floor, right, or whatever. Most of their players, Cunningham's already got a contract, but the other guys aren't up for a year or two. It would be sort of like adding a veteran who can help them win right now, but doesn't encumber their books long-term and basically soaks up salary for a year or two until they're ready to give extensions to the younger players. It does sort of make a little bit of sense.
And then you mentioned earlier Oklahoma City running away with the conference. They are. I don't know. Do you say they've won 15 in a row? They technically have, if we're not counting the cup final, and I guess we're not. But either way, it's damn impressive what they've done, both recently beating the Celtics and the Knicks, destroying them both in the second half.
Yeah, what I just wrote a minute ago was they won 15 regular season games in a row. I'll be cute with it because that's the way we're doing.
Right.
But regardless, so what? So they've won 15 of the last 16. That's pretty good too, right? I mean, whatever. And they're doing this without Chet Holmgren, who I think is their second best player, if they're healthy. And so, yeah, they're awesome. And the only question is, are they going to be awesome in the playoffs? And the answer, I think, is probably so. I mean, remains to be seen. But, they got to be the heavy favorite to come out of the West.
To the extent that they wouldn't be, is it because they're callow and they've never done it before, and so until we see it, they whatever? Or, I saw someone asserting that, you can't – if your second best player is Jalen Williams, that's not good enough to get it done in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I think the youth and lack of experience doing it, I do think, is a thing that has tended over NBA history to sort of be meaningful. It's been meaningful for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have been the higher seed, and they lost to Steph Curry and LeBron James teams, right? And so the Thunder were the one seed last year and lost in the second round. And so I do think the experience aspect, the age experience aspect, is meaningful. Do they have the classic look of a title team in terms of construction? No. They don't have two top 10 players. They have one top 10 player, so there is that. I think there's also some question about their offense as the game tightens up in the playoffs. They're rolling teams on defense. They're good on offense. They're great on defense. And there is some question about their shooting and their general, like the Grizzlies, your half-court offense when the game's tightened up in the playoffs. Is it going to be as good? I think that's a legit question for them.
It would be fun. Of course, it'd be fun to be in any Western Conference Finals. It would be fun to have a renewal of those Oklahoma City Grizzlies battles in the Western Conference Finals. Could be a blast.
Yeah, it would be better to have that in the Western Conference Finals than the Western Conference Semifinals. That's for sure. So let's let the Grizzlies stay in that 2-3 range and avoid OKC until then.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea. All right, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Arrington from the Daily Memphian. Back in the day, those were great series. We think about the Clippers series, right? And I guess recently we think about the Warriors series. What looms large in people's mind?
The Clippers series will always 2013.
But, we had some unbelievable Oklahoma City series. One of which they lost. That included the double triple overtime. The overtime, the double overtime one, that was an epic series. And then the Z-Bo getting tossed, they lost, and then they won the other series.
Yep.
You had Tony getting a T for throwing a growl towel on the floor at one point in a game against Oklahoma City. We had in the one they won. You had Westbrook? Was it Westbrook who was out?
No, Westbrook.
It was Westbrook who was out.
He tore his meniscus.
Yeah. So you had KD, but you did not have... And the nice thing is that, those cities, two small markets, but couldn't be more different in some ways.
Sure.
You know what I mean? One's the unruly Memphis, and one's we'll put on those same matching T-shirts and stand and make the same arm motions.
Game.
They love a T-shirt in Oklahoma City. But it was also... We would drive back and forth.
Yeah.
To those things. I remember, there was one time we were coming back. Who was I with? We were pulled over by a cop. And then half an hour later, another group of journalists traveling was pulled over by the same cop.
Yeah.
And this was weird. He pulled us over. And he had us, or me, or... go sit in his car.
Mm-hmm.
Here, come on out and sit in my car while I write you the ticket. And there was a German Shepherd, in the back.
Yes. Not Rocco.
And you wonder what was going on there. Normally, they come to your window and they write you the ticket. Yeah.
Did he guide you on the right side?
The theory that we had, and again, maybe someone in law enforcement would know the answer to this. We worked up this conspiracy theory that we thought that he wanted us to be exposed to Rocco the dog, as a
the canine unit,
as a drug sniffing dog somehow. Like if we'd come in and sit there, and we we would therefore, if we were had some contraband on us, the on my person or had been, is there, why in the world would I go sit in his car?
So
and they did it to the other. They did it to whoever it is too.
Did they guide you over the right side? Like when he let you into the door, were you on the left side of the car or the right side of the car?
I presume I was. He guided me to the right side of the car.
Yeah, the only thing I think of is like he wanted
to had me get in the passenger side of the car.
He wanted to stay off the like he wanted to be have car, you know, the stopped car in between him and oncoming traffic.
He didn't want us standing out. He didn't want to be exposing himself to maybe that was it. Just just safety.
But anyway. I don't hate your theory about the. The dog.
We thought we were sort of, you know, it was, and in fairness, it wasn't Oklahoma cops. It was, I think it was Arkansas cops. Yeah, I don't know. I lose track.
Shout out to I-40.
I'd like to do that again. I do think Western Conference Finals, Grizzlies, Thunder, I would sign up for that in a trice. Coming up, a fish on Friday, on Tuesday, coming up next. I will tell you that if you are selling your house, you should call Josh Hysaw at Keller Williams Realty. It's 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Most people, when you're selling your house, you're if you're buying another house, let's say you're gonna want to sell yours. However it works, you don't want to be holding two mortgages, Jeff.
You want to sell your house before you officially buy the other house.
You don't want to be...
That's what they would recommend.
That's what
some heroes do it the other way.
Some heroes do it the other way. So I was talking to a guy who did it, who's Josh Hysaw, and he's nervous about this and whatever else. 3 days sold his house. 3 days sold his house. And I'm not saying in 3 days you will sell your house, but the point is that as heavily as he markets, as experienced as he is, Josh Hysaw is the person who can help you guide you through this very tricky, tricky transaction of selling your house and buying another house. Also, flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. That just speaks to his confidence that he can get it done for you. Honestly, it's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman. He's the author of 3 New York Times bestsellers. Most recently, One Giant Leap, Extraordinary Efforts of Ordinary Americans to Get Us to the Moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand, joins me now from snowy Washington, D.C. How is the digging out going up there, Charles?
Well, I'll tell you a couple things. First, everything was canceled yesterday and everything was canceled today. So the big four school systems canceled Sunday in the afternoon.
He's gone.
Starts snowing Sunday night till 1 in the morning. They canceled preemptively. And D.C. is famous for saying, get your butt to school. And they canceled yesterday at 5. So full snow day today for everybody with kids who celebrates, as we say here. And but I as you know, I spent 47 hours yesterday digging out. And then
you're really compulsive. You're really compulsive about your snowing. Do you ever worry you're going to have a heart attack out there? You know, we do read every once in a while about people having heart attacks from their shoveling. And I went over with Jeffrey. The regulation in D.C. is 8 hours after snowfall, you have to have cleared off. After the snowfall ends, you have to have cleared off your driveway.
Right? I really find the word compulsive to be an ugly and unappealing word.
If accurate. If accurate.
No, it's not. Okay. I'm diligent, I do a beautiful job.
You do.
And what's interesting, here's what's interesting for listeners, because we want this to be interesting for listeners. You grew up in the capital of snow, Buffalo. We could say Buffalo. No,
well, what happened is that I...
Wait, I grew up in Miami.
Right.
And so you don't care. You drive
and so
your
the
car.
Difference is that you think snow is something to be feared and you have to deal with it and get out there and you can't operate if there's a flake of snow anywhere. It's supposed to look like Miami. What I did, what I was modeled was you go out there, you look at your car, it's under a snowbank. If you have a cup of coffee, you put your cup of coffee on the dashboard. The mist,
it clears
the
a little
steam will clear
size.
A little, not a dinner plate, a teaspoon size, and you just drive along. And if you go fast enough, the snow will naturally, it's like a self-bailing sailboat, the snow will naturally fall off the car as you drive along.
So perfect. Yeah, the snow.
We have very different approaches.
The cakes of snow will smash into the car.
I am slapdash, and you are responsible. Most people, honestly, people who do it like I do enrage, particularly down here, honestly. If you do what I do down here, which is just let giant chunks of snow fall off your car as you're going along, people are mad.
It's disrespectful. Yeah, it's just like not returning the shopping cart. Here's my philosophy.
It's not like that.
Go ahead. It's worse.
It's because it's dangerous. Yeah,
because it's dangerous. My philosophy of snow is like here between now and Friday. Like right now, I think the temperature is 27. The temperature is not going above freezing again until the weekend. If you just stomp on the snow and leave it and don't clear it off, then it just turns to ice and then you have a mess. I believe clean and dry makes you happy.
Clean and dry makes you happy is not like a good slogan. You need to do better.
It's not a good slogan, but it works for me. And so I was out there last night. I did the street in front of my driveway. The two people next to us do the street in front of their driveways. We have a nice little plowed off zone you can drive out into.
Nice.
My cars were clean.
All right. I got to move on.
And my daughter's out driving right now in the snow.
Okay.
So there you go.
I want to move on to other things.
I want to say Happy New Year to everybody. You didn't let me say it. I know we're late.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Say it.
Happy New Year. I hope you're going to think about getting a password manager this year. Just going to repeat that.
My God, you're urging it again. Okay.
Do we want to tell people that I joined a gym or not?
No.
Seems irrelevant.
We'll
get to it later
Do you have any observations while we were away? We had the horrific, horrific tragedy in New Orleans. And then we had I don't think there were any fatalities in Las Vegas. But we had
except for the driver.
Yeah, and with all due respect, whatever. I mean, if he wants to blow himself up, he can blow himself up, right?
He did kill himself, although I think it's okay to be sympathetic with people who end up suicidal.
That's true, and he obviously, it seems like it was PTSD from military service, et cetera. So that's sad, and that's a common issue.
Well,
observations?
First of all, I don't know if people remember, but of course I'm introduced as a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand, because I lived in New Orleans and worked as a Mississippi River tugboat deckhand, not a joke. And I lived between Bourbon and Royal Streets. And so I know this place, this part of New Orleans and this part of the country very well. I'm like you, I've gotten a little shy about some of this stuff, despite being a reporter. I saw the beginning of the video that has been assembled that shows this guy's white pickup truck turning onto Bourbon Street, and the speed with which he went down just the first 40 feet of Bourbon Street was so insane. In a year of living in the quarter, I don't think I ever drove that fast.
No, you were trying not to kill people. He was literally trying to kill people.
That was really, really scary. And so the first thing I would say is we all find these places where streets are blocked, where they call them bollards.
I never know how to even pronounce them. I don't say that word out loud. Is it bollards or bollards?
Yeah, it's bollards, yeah.
Bollards.
And we're really familiar. The easiest place to be familiar with them is at a rental car place where they have them up at the exit, so you can't steal one of their rental cars. And they actually have them up behind you as you come into the rental car place, so when you're returning it, you can't change your mind. But they're all over now. They're in front of the White House. They protect lots of big buildings. Sometimes a bollard is simply a huge boulder, a rock. They use rocks as bollards. We go to a quarry here that sells rocks as bollards, but those weren't in place on Bourbon Street, and they needed to be. And when you see them, or when they inconvenience you, remember why they're there. I mean, the other thing I would say, and this is a little unpopular, it's interesting that we aren't having a national conversation about this, but within 24 hours, two members of the distinguished U.S. military who are active duty, had good military careers.
The one wasn't active. The guy in New Orleans wasn't active duty. He wasn't still active.
I think he was
still active. He was a realtor. He was a failed realtor.
I thought he was still in the
military. No, he was not a military. He was not a...
But two members of the U.S. military had serious mental illness and then attacked their fellow members of the country and their fellow citizens. And I think we should ask, you know, we should take the mental health temperature of our military.
Isn't that, I mean, they're so wildly different, though, and the military is a massive organization. So
the military is a massive organization. And so if two retail clerks, if two IT people, mental health treatment is difficult for all Americans, even if you have money.
To me, the question would be, I mean, there's no question the Las Vegas guy, like, it's PTSD from service contributed to the mental health issues that led to him. And who knows? We don't know. We don't know in the first one. In the end, he said he was an ISIS, although there's no evidence that he was. It may be the same thing. He may have had, because of his service, there may have been mental health issues. That's fine. I think it's a reasonable thing to explore.
We still tend to short sheet mental health, and people's mental health problems are increasingly a cause of them, you know, attacking other people.
The only time we talk about mental health is we care about mental health. When something bad happens, and then we don't really care about it. Let's be honest. And mental health professionals, it's a pathetic system we have dealing with mental health. And the idea that we're going to go beef it up to help deal with the problems of America is crazy. And the truth of the matter is, Claire's a mental health professional. She will tell you a lot of the mental health people that they have health problems that people face right now are really based in the reality of life. Yeah, life in this country. Right. Anyway, you want to talk about bird flu. I gather
I want to go back one step. You're racing on. I took your... There was a signal moment. You may not care. Listeners may not care. But I took your advice to go out and have fun.
Yeah, that's my advice for 2025.
And my daughter and I went to the Washington, D.C. Comedy Showcase on Friday, just whatever it was, 3 days ago. Turns out it has a great name, but they do this six nights a week, stand-up, six nights a week in Washington, D.C. at a different club, rotating. We saw 12 comics, each of whom got 10 minutes. So if you were enjoying it, that was great. 10 minutes is nice. If somebody was really
it's
irritating,
terrible.
Or,
you could, yeah, 10 minutes is someone that you never knew.
They're almost over. And it cost, my daughter treated, $5 a ticket. That's the best $5 investment. And it was great. We went to a restaurant bar. As we're walking in the 24-degree weather, notwithstanding the weather, if she'd said, let's skip it, I would have. I'm sad to say.
I'm glad.
She said, go ahead.
No, I was going to move on. Go ahead.
She said, Dad, I don't think you and I have ever just been to a bar together.
Oh, that's a nice father-daughter moment.
Nice.
Okay, bird flu. We've actually had a fatality. You started here several years ago when we started bringing you on. We were talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. So this is sort of a throwback. This is a throwback Tuesday. What's our bird flu update?
Yeah, you know, if you read about bird flu, you might feel like we're not paying enough attention to it. A man in Louisiana died over the weekend from bird flu. It's called H5N1 bird flu. That's like COVID-19. That's the designation of the virus. Bird flu has kind of been, to use a bit of a pun, kind of running wild in America for the last 2 years. How wild has it been?
Amongst
running?
Birds, though.
Amongst birds and
cows.
Cows, oddly. 111 million chickens in America have been killed because of bird flu. If one chicken in a laying flock or a fryer flock, if one chicken tests positive, they kill every chicken on the farm because it is so infectious. 111 million chickens is a chicken for every family in America. We have 377 million chickens in America. That's a lot of chickens. 377 million chickens is a chicken for each person. We've killed literally a third of the flock or a quarter of the flock just to keep this under control. And this year it infected cows. It leapt from birds to cows. And about 61 Americans have been infected with bird flu in the last year. Now, almost all of them have been infected with a mild form. I don't think they call it H5N1. It has a different designation. And most of those people got it not from birds, but from cows.
From doing what with cows? Making out with them?
People who work with dairy, people who work with birds. Here's the amazing thing. You're gonna keep making jokes. But when cows get, when birds get bird flu, they're killed. They don't recover.
Yeah.
It's not safe. When cows get bird flu, they do typically recover. So we aren't slaughtering millions or thousands or even hundreds of cows. We let the cows recover. We segregate their milk as soon as we know they're infected because you don't want to give milk infected with H5N1 to people.
Is that how it jumps? How does it jump? How does it jump? Do we know from cow to?
It jumps in aerosol form in the milk to humans. So it's moving from cows
to humans.
And, you know, if you work at a dairy farm, there's milk droplets everywhere, right? But there's this big, odd movement to drink raw milk in America, as if the health problems of America owe to pasteurizing milk. I'm not going to take a position on that, but raw milk from infected cows is just absolutely dense, laden with the virus. No human.
I'm swearing off raw milk. Then no raw milk for me in 2025.
But dozens and
take
dozens
the
of
no
cats.
No raw milk pledge. What?
Dozens and dozens of cats have died from drinking raw milk from dairy farms or on dairy farms. So the cats drink
cats?
It.
The cats eat, drink the milk and then they die.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
right.
Leads to more birds. That leads to more birds and more bird flu because the cats are dead.
God, you're
it's the circle of life. Things are out of control.
Anyway, you're making
no.
You're
how
making,
much I?
Making,
how much should we worry about it?
So here's the thing. It's when it gets serious, it's quite virulent. There've been 78 serious human cases worldwide, and 9 of those people have died. Imagine if 1 out of 10, 1 out of 8 people who.
But isn't the point? Isn't the reason here that isn't the reason we aren't don't pay much attention to it is because it's not very particularly contagious. Like, it's not. Well, isn't no, that really why not, we're not talking
on,
about?
Hang on. That's not quite right. 60% of cow herds in California are infected, so it's quite contagious.
I mean, among human to human.
Right. Here's the thing, and it's quite contagious among workers who work with cows or bird flocks. It gets from the animal to the human. The key is if the virus ever changes, mutates, so that it can move human to human.
Right.
That's the point. Most of us don't encounter a live cow in the course of 10 years. Most of us don't encounter a live chicken in the course of 10 years or even 20 or 30 years. I've probably only seen live cows 6 times in my whole life. But we see each other a lot.
It is not highly transmissible human to human at this point, right?
At this moment. The 61 confirmed cases all came from birds or cows, and the man who died in Louisiana over the age of 65, underlying medical conditions, got it from a backyard chicken flock or wild birds that infected that. His virus DNA tested was a wild bird strain. So the one you just want to keep an eye on. Okay. If it starts moving human to human.
All right. Do you want to talk about credit card debt or board workers? Tell me about credit card debt.
Credit card debt has reached the highest level in 14 years in the U.S. Delinquent credit card debt.
Oh, no.
People unable to pay their credit cards. And this is a bad signal, okay? At this moment, 10.5% of people with balances in the U.S. are 30 days or more behind. Last year, 2024, up 50% from 2023. So that's a sign that
So what percentage of people who hold credit cards are behind?
10.5%.
Okay.
With people who have debt. A quarter of people, a third of people pay their credit card off every month. That's the way to do it. For the record, that's what we try and teach our children. If you can't pay it, don't buy it. If you can't pay for it, don't buy it. Don't pay interest. But of the people who carry balances, 10.5% are now 30 days or more behind, highest in 14 years. Car loan delinquencies, interestingly, two things are interesting. Car loan delinquencies are even higher than highest since 2010, going all the way back to the financial crisis, but only 3.8% of people with car loans are delinquent, and you can guess why. Whatever, take my credit card away from me. Oh, well, take my car away from
me.
Right?
Yeah, right.
People, so I don't think 3.8% sounds bad.
No, I don't think
right?
that's so minuscule.
That means 96.2% of Americans
don't have their cars
who have a $700 car payment are
kind
paying
of amazing,
their credit card.
Actually, yeah.
But it's a bad sign of what's coming.
Okay.
And then we have time, a minute
yeah,
for the board workers.
Yep, we love board workers.
This is such a crazy study. We try and keep the low quality crap studies out of the segment. But a company called Play USA, which is a casino review site, did an intensive study of Fortune 500 companies, examining the reviews of those companies on a website called Glassdoor. Glassdoor reviews what it's like to be an employee at a company. And they reviewed the Fortune 500 company reviews. They analyzed them, looking for words in those reviews from employees. Here's what it's like to work at this company. Boredom, boring, monotonous, stagnant, dull, mundane, no excitement. Now, those are the phrases
they were looking for. Huh?
And they came up with the 10 most boring, actually they came up with long, the 20 most boring companies to work for. Number one, most boring company, Raytheon. Number two, Albertsons, the grocery store chain. Number three, despite flow, Progressive, the insurance company.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Number four, U.S. Bank Corp. Number five, PACCAR, the company that makes Freightliner trucks. Number six, TJX. Number seven, Fannie Mae. Number eight, Liberty Mutual. Number nine, Travelers. Number 10, Elevance Health. You'll notice
there's a lot of insurance companies in there.
Three of the top 10 are insurance companies. It's kind of sad that Raytheon You know,
you would think Raytheon, you're blowing stuff up if you're a Raytheon. That's right. Defense manufacturing.
Right. Boeing is the number eight most boring. Again, it hasn't actually been boring for
I hate to say this. It's a little less boring for insurers these days, too.
We've also got USAA, Allstate, Freddie Mac. So a lot of, and BNY, a lot of finance and insurance companies. We didn't get to talk about AI, but it's possible that the boring work will be taken over by AI.
I wonder if AI could get out there and shovel the snow for you, Charles. That would be good. Get AI out there, you're getting a robot out there doing the snow shoveling for you. Thank you, Charles. Good to have you in 2025.
Or a 15-year-old.
All right, Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They'll be joined by Jessica Benson as well as Jason Fitz. Tim Murray will join me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. It is Tuesday, so that means Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock, Christian Fowler at 6.
Well, that was fun. We'll be back tomorrow and do it again. Thanks for listening. For now, work is done.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. Some of y'all might have heard I made the cross-country move from LA to New York last year, and Wayfair has definitely helped me create the feeling of home wherever I am. I love a cozy couch and a comfy living room that feels like our little sanctuary for our family. And I love vases, I love candles, I love anything that kind of makes you feel at home and peaceful. Anyway, something about me is I love options when it comes to making my home more me. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. Everyone loves a good deal. I mean, who does not want free and fast and easy delivery? Come on. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Running an online business is hard enough without the stress and time consumption of managing hosting. Whether managing one WordPress site or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions offer speed, enterprise-grade security, and an intuitive dashboard. With 24/7, 365 human-only expert support, get peace of mind that your sites stay online, secure, and performing their best. Start today and get your first month free with migrations handled for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's kinsta.com/podcast.
When you're operating at an enterprise level, nothing drives success more than effective team communication. Grammarly for Enterprise enables your company to work smarter and faster. Other AI tools can't quantify impact. With Grammarly, you get measurable results and actionable insights, like tracking key metrics that include brand compliance and readability from their effective communication score. Because when you're able to visualize your team's impact and compare performance against industry benchmarks, you can make data-driven decisions that improve critical business outcomes. So whether you need to streamline messaging between technical and marketing initiatives or cut down on emails between external collaborators, you can trust Grammarly to help employees communicate effectively across the board. Start boosting productivity company-wide with Grammarly. Visit Grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. That's Grammarly.com/enterprise.